D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. The Predators were back on the ice today for practice. Coach Andrew Burnett ran that practice. So if you're expecting the Predators to make a coaching change right now, I wouldn't hold your breath. The Predators, by the way, resume action Saturday against the league-leading Colorado Avalanche. So that could be fun. But Willie and Derek...
But you neglected the other part of the story. There is a significant story of today's practice.
Roman Josi did return to practice today.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens there.
How many... I think they won two or three, maybe two. They won the game that he got hurt in, and I think they won the next game. I think they won one other game. They have missed him sorely. It'll be nice to have him back.
So Roman Josi on the ice for practice today. I don't think he's going to play on Saturday.
Why not?
I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, practice full today. He wasn't in a special jersey or just on the ice. He was in the practice today.
Let's call him questionable.
Okay.
For
fair
Saturday.
Enough.
Let's call him questionable.
Let's see how the next couple days unfold.
For Saturday.
Interesting.
But there are a couple of complaints I hear a lot from Predators fans. First and foremost, why haven't they fired the coach? And that does not appear to be happening right now. But the other complaint I often hear from Predators fans, and our friend Wes called in at the end of the show yesterday and had a creative analogy to discuss this. But the other complaint I hear from Predators fans is, how can the Predators possibly be successful with the roster that Barry Trotz has provided for Andrew Burnett? And tomorrow at 4 o'clock, so 24 hours from now, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, we will be joined by Predators GM Barry Trotz. And we will ask him all of the questions that you want to know. But we're not going to talk to Barry Trotz today. We are going to talk about Barry Trotz today. So here's what I did. I thought it would be instructive to look back at the major transactions that Barry Trotz has made since becoming the Predators general manager a couple of years ago. And I only included, as I said, the notable transactions. So I'm not talking about random minor leaguer for future considerations. I'm talking about major trades and signings. And the reason I did that was I want to attempt to answer this question. How deep of a hole have Barry Trotz's moves dug for the Predators as they try to become competitive again? Of course, we have the benefit of hindsight, and we're not going to go through every single transaction, but I'll give you an example of the benefit of hindsight. When the Predators signed Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist, and Luke Shen on the first day of free agency in 2023, my initial thought was, this is counterintuitive. Because at that point, the Predators had sold off Matias Ekholm and Mikael Granlund, Nino Niederreiter, and Tanner Jeannot. And I thought, finally, they are embracing a true rebuild. So signing Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist, and Luke Shen to multi-year contracts didn't make a lot of sense to me. But in hindsight, those moves have worked out pretty well. Ryan O'Reilly has been a critical member of this team. He's been quite good. He'll tell you he's the worst hockey player who ever lived, but he has been quite good. Gus Nyquist had a career year out of nowhere in his early to mid-30s, and the Predators were able to flip him to the Minnesota Wild for a second-round pick. I say that was a successful signing by Barry Trotz. So, in hindsight, things can change. But this, again, is the question that I want us to attempt to answer. How deep of a hole have Trotz's moves dug for the Predators as they try to become competitive again? So, Willie, as you look over Trotz's major trades and signings over the past couple of years, are you noticing any sort of theme?
I think the hidden, it's not hidden. The one thing to keep in mind is he has mortgaged zero of the future. He hasn't traded off any future assets to do what he has done. And so one theme is that they have been building their farm system for the last 4 or 5 years. They haven't traded any first-round picks. When's the last time they traded their first-round pick? Ryan Hartman trade? 2018?
That's a good question.
I think that's the last time they've traded their first-round pick. So that's going way back when they won.
That sounds right.
They won the President's Trophy, and they traded their first pick to get Ryan Hartman. Since then, they have drafted in the first round at least once every year. Now, that hasn't turned into anything, but it just shows you that they have not mortgaged the future while they have gone through that. That encompasses the last few years of David Poyle and the first couple years of Barry Trotz. So that's important to remember. And then the other part, I think, was some of this roster flaw inevitable and unfixable when he took over? In other words, regardless of what he did, were there going to be some flaws in the roster? And the gap you point out a lot, Adam, is that mid-20s range of players, they just haven't drafted special players who would be in that age range right now. They're just, you know, even if you say, well, Eli Tolvanen's the one that got away, that was a bad move, which was before Barry Trotz. Eli Tolvanen's a good player. He's not a superstar player. He might be the best of who's doing well in other places that they've gotten rid of. They haven't been fortunate. They haven't drafted well to get that third round. You know, Roman Josi was a second rounder. UC Saros was a fourth rounder, turned into special players. They've lacked that. So some of this was inevitable before Barry Trotz got there. But you would have to say that the recent moves he has made have not yielded a big uptick, especially with his philosophy is, let me see if I can get a little bit younger. Justin Barron for Alex Carrier. The Michael Bunting for Tommy Novak is a little bit of a wash. Novak hasn't really done anything for Pittsburgh as of yet. Michael Bunting has been okay, but not a needle mover for the Predators. Eustace Onanen for Scott Wedgwood, a bit of a wash, right? You have a younger goalie that hopefully can still grow. But I think he's probably going to be really zeroed in on Stamkos, Marchessault, O'Shea, who are guys that I think he thought might stem the tide and create a little more runway for that unexpected year they had 2 years ago. But none of the three have been fits with the way Andrew Burnett wanted to play, and none of them have been able to overcome the biggest weakness on the roster, which is by far one thing, playmaking centers. They just don't have those guys. And I think it's become very clear that Steven Stamkos, his style of play, he needs a playmaking center. It's like a point guard passing to a great three-point shooter. Steven Stamkos is the three-point shooter. He's not a creator. So he needs the guy to create, to get him the puck so that he can hit the three-pointer.
Can you look at it from this standpoint? Because those three guys that he brought in, Marchessault, Stamkos, and Brady Shea, of those three guys, because you're right, these great three guys, their style of play doesn't match what Andrew Brunette wants to do as a head coach. But that doesn't mean that out of these three, if we choose to keep one, which one would be a better fit for? Because right now, if you get rid of all three of them, you're still behind the eight ball because you're still 2 years removed from an opportunity you had to basically start over. And maybe you would have been you wouldn't have been in the position you thought you were going to be in, but I think the fan base would have gave you more grace because they would have looked at it as, okay, they're still rebuilding. And we know, and if you know hockey, you know how long it may take in a rebuild. So would it almost be better now, out of those three guys, keeping one and still being able to transition to more of a faster team? And if that is the case, then which one are you willing to keep? Because you're going to have to take a hit on one or all of them. So why not trade away two, take that hit on two, but keep that third one as long as you possibly can and sort of work around that?
Adam, when you think of that summer and they splurged on the three guys, what would the alternatives have been? I can't think of players, but maybe keeping a Jason Zucker maybe keeping Beauvillier. I don't know where Beauvillier is now. I know Zucker's played pretty well since he left, right? But he's doing it in Buffalo, I guess, for not a very good team. Is he still with Buffalo?
Who's that?
Jason Zucker.
I believe he's still in Buffalo, yes.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, you had this overachieving team. Everybody was kind of excited, like pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of riding the wave, Trotz, at the time of, hey, he's made some pretty shrewd moves here. You still knew that you really didn't have the centers. You were hoping Novak would be something a little more than he ended up being. So you still had some flaws. So he rolled the dice and went in on those big-name guys. Like, what was the alternative to do? Because if he didn't do anything, you'd still have that flaw down the middle that is, I think, the number one thing that's making it hard for them.
So I don't remember specific names of players who were also available in free agency.
It wasn't much, right?
I mentioned what the Predators did in free agency the year before that, signing Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist, and Luke Shen. If I had been in Barry Trotz's shoes, again, this is at the time, with the benefit of hindsight, those moves have been a net positive, I would say, for the Predators. But at the time, I thought, just sign veteran forwards or defensemen to one-year contracts who you can just flip at the deadline, like a Nick Foligno or a Corey Perry or a Jason Zucker. Sign them to a one-year deal. You'll probably overpay them. You're not going to be very good. But these are the types of players who teams want at the deadline. You sell high, and then you recoup assets. That's what I would have done in the summer
even
of
after
2023.
Even after 99 points and, you know, that 16-0-2 run that had everybody pretty excited about what they had done.
Look, that was an exciting time.
That would be a tough sell, right? You'd have a backlash from the fan base if they said, wait a minute, they just made the playoffs and they're signing Corey Perry and Marcus Foligno?
I hear what you're saying.
Or Nick Foligno?
Either Foligno. All the Foligno's. Lou Ferrigno. I don't even know. But that, I hear you. It might have been a tough sell. But I think that we could all agree that the Predators overachieved that season. And I think it may have been more prudent to be more realistic about the situation they found themselves in, and not because here's the issue. When we look at these moves that Trotz has made, everybody is going to hone in on July 1st, 2024. Stamkos, yes, and Marchessault and Shea, and you could even throw in the re-signing of UC Saros, because that also happened on July 1st, 2024. That contract did not start until this season, but they re-signed him that same day. I think that those moves announced to the fans that the Predators were committed to winning. Trotz will talk about threading the needle and buying time, but I am adamant about this.
But remember, all those moves you did, you just said, headline moves, big splashes, big investments, did not mortgage the future 1%.
That is a good point.
So it was a gravy on top of the big picture goal, which was to build a new nucleus over the next 5 years or so.
Right. I hear what you're saying.
So you're trying to have your cake and eat it too.
Right. But I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when Barry Trotz talked to Steven Stamkos about coming to Nashville.
Really? Well, absolutely wanted to win.
Right. Steven Stamkos would not have signed here if he did not think he could win here.
100%.
And I think Barry Trotz, again, in hindsight, I do think Barry Trotz made a mistake there. Now, I did say right after that splurge that they need to win and they need to win soon because these players are old and you're only going to have them for so long when they're still close to their primes. And clearly, we've seen where that's gone. Let's quickly go to Brad on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brad, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, you guys may have already discussed this. I'm just tuning in, but I'm wondering what the Preds are using as their criteria for picking up these players. As an example, Steven Stamkos scored 40 goals his last year in Tampa Bay, but he was still minus 20. And we're wondering why. He was minus 36 for the Preds last year. We're wondering why we're having trouble. All three of those guys are defensively irresponsible. Between the three of them, right now they're minus 30. So what's his criteria when he's picking up these players?
Thank you for the call, Brad. And look, one of the major issues I had with those moves was who are, specifically with Stamkos and Marchessault, who's going to get them the puck? Willie, you made the analogy of a point guard and a three-point shooter. Steven Stamkos was playing with some of the best forwards in the NHL. He was playing with Braden Point. He was playing with Nikita Kucherov. He didn't have to do much at 5-on-5. He was not a play driver. Yep. He was
minus 21.
He was, by and large, a power play specialist. Jonathan Marchessault.
And an incredible player, power play specialist.
Absolutely. Jonathan Marchessault.
Hall of Fame power play specialist.
Yes. Jonathan Marchessault in Vegas was playing with Jack Eichel. He was playing with Jack Eichel. And yep. They were going to come here and produce that with Tommy Novak at second line center? Like, I do think.
But the alternative was to bring in who?
I can't tell you specific
names.
That's
my point.
Because I have to get the free agent list from 2024 in front of me. I don't have that in front of me.
But I think we know
you that could have still filled holes without signing those players to those contracts.
You could have brought back a Jason Zucker.
Sure.
I think what would have happened, probably regardless of what you did, would have been there still would have been the big issue at center, which bit them hard last year and is biting them just as hard this year. And you would still be trying to figure out, how do I get around this flaw until I can find some help there? Nobody's giving you, just like nobody's giving you a great quarterback in football, nobody's giving you a good center. I mean, it's hard to find those guys. So I do cut him some slack there, but at the same time, it's not like we can't say these are brilliant moves. Like you said, hindsight's 20/20.
615-737-1025. How deep of a hole do you think Barry Trotz has dug for the Predators based on the major transactions he's made over the past couple of years? 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation next. We'll get your reaction. Plus, Barry Trotz with some interesting comments about where the team is right now. And, of course, we'll talk to Barry Trotz tomorrow at 4 o'clock. 615-737-1025. Tonight on Totally Hits 93.3, catch MTSU men's basketball as the Blue Raiders take on Michigan, oh boy, at 5:30 p.m. Coverage is also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen. Talking Barry Trotz. We will talk to Barry Trotz tomorrow. We are talking about Barry Trotz right now, and we were asking this question. How deep of a hole have Trotz's moves dug for the Predators as they try to become competitive again? And we're about to play a clip. So when the Predators were in Stockholm, Willie, you were not invited to the sit-down with Barry Trotz and Penguins GM Kyle Dubas. They had a conversation over coffee.
I heard it.
And here is part of that conversation between Trotz and Dubas. Here's Trotz explaining where the Predators are right now.
First year, we really overachieved in terms of our record. We thought we'd be in the 3 or 4 years of pain. We really didn't have any pain for the sort of the first 2 years. You know, last year was painful. Sure. The expectations went really high. We were at a point in our organization where really felt that we still had some good players. We could stay relevant for a little bit and maybe be a little bit dangerous. We had the older players and we didn't have any young players.
Right.
And the middle was sort of gone. So trying to extend it, went to free agency as you know, and got some of those veteran players and picked up draft choices. And now we're just trying to wait for them. And that's the hard part in this business, because we were in the playoffs for 14, 15 years, just very similar to Pittsburgh, had a good run, never won the cup there. But the cupboards were bare and are trying to fill the cupboards. And now waiting is the hard part, because everybody wants it immediately.
So that was Barry Trotz in conversation with Penguins GM Kyle Dubas for an NHL-produced video during the NHL Global Series. And he mentioned that middle group. Brian on our text line says, you talk about the future and how good it was that they didn't mortgage it. If that's such a good thing, then why does the team still have such a gap in mid-20s players? I don't think Barry Trotz can get out of the hole he's in. It's becoming obvious he's in over his head. Well, let's focus on the first part. And I'll use the Dallas Stars as an example. The Dallas Stars are often used as an example of great drafting and developing. They have all three of those groups, which is why they've been so successful. They have the older players, Jamie Benn, Matt Duchene, Tyler Seguin. They've got that middle group, mid to late 20s, right? Jason Robertson, Miro Heiskanen, Roope Hintz, Jay Gottinger. Did I say Mikko Rantanen? If I did not, Mikko Rantanen. And they have the young group. Wyatt Johnston is 22 years old. Thomas Harley is 24 years old. Maverick Bork is 24 years old. So they have all three of those groups. The Predators are missing that middle group, the mid-20s players. And look, I think that is out of Barry Trotz's hands. That's more on David Poile. Think about all of the first-round picks that did not pan out here. Philip Tomasino, by the way, recently waived by the Pittsburgh Penguins. Philip Tomasino did not pan out. Dante Fabro was waived. Elie Tolvanen was waived. Yaroslav Askarov was traded. Those players would have represented that middle group, the 23, 24, 25. You know, that's the group the Predators are missing. That's why it's hard for the Predators, because they've got the older players, and the younger players are the ones that aren't ready yet. Brady Martin, Tanner Molendijk,
Igor Sørin,
Riker Lee.
David Edstrom, did you mention?
I did not mention Edstrom. Like, there's that middle group that's missing. I don't put that on Barry Trotz.
Those are his guys. Those are the guys that they've used with the assets from the going away present left by David Poile.
Yes.
Trading Granlin, trading Ekholm, trading
Janot and Niederreiter.
Right. That's that group that they have cultivated. And we don't know what that's going to turn into for the Predators yet. Matt Wood is, in theory, part of that. That was their own pick. But they've only traded their first-round pick once since I'm trying to think of when they last did it.
Ryan Hartman would have been the
2018
President's Trophy year, right?
Right. And before that, I'm trying to think of the last time prior to that. It was a while. I think about 2014, I think they traded...
Did they not trade a first-round pick for Kyle Turris?
Nope.
Was that not part of the deal? Okay. I remember the Cody Franz and Mike Santorelli deal in 2015.
That was the first-round pick.
In 2015.
I think they traded their first-round pick for those guys.
Yes.
So that's your answer, I think. Needless to say, they haven't hit... Like, Roman Josi and UC Saros are non-first-round picks that fit the category you're talking about with Roope Hintz and Jason Robertson. Star players, ironically, we're talking about the Dallas Stars, but high-end players that weren't first-round picks that you had to be awful to get access to. The mid-20s people, that has nothing to do with Barry Trotz. The guys who are 18, 19, 20, 21, those are the draftees and prospects that Barry Trotz is cultivating, that he is counting on, that ultimately I think are going to be his legacy. The point he keeps making, even in that clip with Kyle Dubas, is this was going to be the challenge in the years that he first took over, is overcoming that fact that, A, you didn't have centers that you could count on up and down the lineup that a good team needs, and B, you didn't have that nucleus of really good players in their prime that were going to carry their weight. Maybe even not stars, but guys like Craig Smith. You know, think about really good role players that they had. Even an Austin Watson or a Colton Sissons for those really good teams from 2015 to 2019 that were winning playoff series, winning divisions. They won a conference championship. They won a President's Trophy. That team had all of those things that the Stars have now, right? But that window was basically closed 5 years ago, right? By 2020, would you agree, Adam, that that window was probably past its prime at best?
Yes.
They haven't been that good since on paper. They've overachieved a couple of times to get to the playoffs with great goaltending, great play by Roman Yossi, who elevates others. They've overcome weaknesses to make the playoffs, but they haven't been good enough to really threaten to make deep runs in the playoffs. So
yeah.
It's been a flawed group to start with. And so regardless of what he did, it was going to be hard to get around the flaws, and the moves he has made certainly have not produced results since that overachieving first year.
I'm just looking at the 2016-17 Predators roster, the team that ultimately went to the Stanley Cup final. And they've got all three of those groups represented. Kevin Fiala played some key games. He was 20 years old. UC Saros was up and coming. He was 21 years old. Philip Forsberg was 22. Colton Sissons was 23. Victor Arvidsson was 23. Ryan Johansson was 24. You've got Roman Yossi at 26. Ellison Ekholm at 26. PK Subban at 27. Craig Smith at 27. Pecorini at 34. Mike Fisher at 36.
Right, so you had the blend.
They had the balance.
Yeah.
They had the balance.
You had the low 20s, the mid 20s, and the veterans.
Yes. One texter brings up, you were asking for an example of players who the Predators could have signed instead of the players that they did on July 1st, 2024. One texter says, please address why Kiefer Sherwood is no longer here. It seems that the Predators could really use him now. Isn't he one of those players in their middle 20s that the Predators are lacking? First of all, Kiefer Sherwood is 30 years old. He was a late bloomer. And look, he has 12 goals for the Canucks. That's great. He is massively overachieving for the Vancouver Canucks.
But I think that's a very good. That would have been something that wouldn't have blown the budget, and I do think they miss him sorely. He's not a center. Okay, so let's also not confuse him, as well as he's played, with it would not have done anything to help the biggest issue on the roster, which is center. That being said, they miss Sherwood big time. They miss him in a big way.
Angie from Mount Juliet says, if Stamkos require top players to prop him up, then why did we fleece ourselves by bringing him to Nashville? It's like buying a toy with no batteries. It's not going to work. Ugh, the decisions this team makes drive me nuts. If the Predators' style, roster construction, or pace doesn't fit Stamkos' style, then shame on us. Nashville has become a place where good players show up only to become mediocre or retire. That's not a player problem. That's an organizational trend.
I mean, that's pretty extreme. But look, I can't argue. They just haven't gotten the results that they hoped from those splashes that they made. I think what they were hoping was a player like Stamkos could help a Tommy Novak, help a young Fedor Svechkov be better than he would have been otherwise with maybe a more, quote, ordinary player. Or because the alternative, I think, are guys like Sherwood, maybe analytical overachievers, not the winning pedigree that those guys had. But this is a little bit of hindsight's 2020. If you tell me you weren't excited on July 1st when they said they were bringing in Stamkos, Marchessault, and Shea, I think you probably are lying to yourself a little bit. You weren't excited that day? Not even a little bit?
Derek, were you excited that day?
Yeah. Why wouldn't I be?
Yeah, I mean,
why wouldn't I be?
You had to be intrigued that they were.
It was cool.
I mean, you hear fan bases a lot of times say, why didn't they go for it? You know, like, you can't. You got to give them that.
They went excited when they did that.
I know this. I know this comment.
Like, okay, who was the one? We argued Stevenson. Chandler Stevenson.
Chandler Stevenson.
That would have been an alternative overpay for a center because he was a center. And I argued that might be a nice pickup. Seattle overpaid to get him. And take a look at Chandler Stevenson today. He's okay. And he is a center. He would be better probably than... He would be in the lineup for the Predators. He's probably,
he would be their second line center right now.
Right. And probably too high in the lineup for what he really is.
Yeah.
But he would be very expensive. And you'd probably hear, why did they pay him all this money for this? But that would have been an alternative. Right. These are the types of options that they had. So they were hoping to get more. I don't know if we can emphasize enough. Fedor Svechkov He has not, this is a quarter of the season through. I'm hoping that we will, in the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, see a better version of him. He had moments last year, right? He's not had a single moment this year in 20 games where he flashes the ability that he showed even last year. So that's one that has really stung. And he's a guy that is still only, what, 22?
Thereabouts.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are the issues at center. You have Eric Halla trying to play center every night. He is who he is at this point of his career, right? The shortcomings at center are also factoring into all of the issues that they're going on with right now. In fact, you could probably stem it from that.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators as we attempt to address this question. We'll take your reaction to it as well. How deep of a hole have Barry Trotz's moves dug for the Predators as they try to become competitive again? 615-737-1025. We will continue the conversation coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025. The game? Jonathan Hutton will join us at the top of the hour. Silly Underdog Picks coming up at 5:20. I am really looking forward to that because I'm the only one who won last week. Looking forward to that. And just to entice you, last week we did have a winner representing the people. The people picked Oklahoma to upset Alabama, which happened. So the people won a prize. And that can be you this week. I'll give you the cue to call during the 5 o'clock hour. The prize is a 4-pack of tickets to see AEW Dynamite in Collision at the Pinnacle Downtown a week from today, Wednesday, November 26th. So if you want those tickets, be listening in the 5 o'clock hour for the cue to call to represent the people in Silly Underdog Picks. But let's wrap up our conversation about Barry Trotz, who, again, will join us tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Let's get to some of your reaction. One texter says, would you compare starting centers in hockey to starting quarterbacks in football? And if so, why would you build up a team with no quarterback? That is from Taylor in Bellevue. Another texter says, we were promised up-tempo hockey, higher skill, faster pace, getting fans out of their seats. Then we added guys who excel in that system, so of course it was exciting. What we've seen since is this low-scoring, grinding hockey that is boring. That style works if you're Virginia men's basketball and win, but if you're going to grind the game to a crawl and lose, it's just not worth watching. So quickly, let's just talk about what Predators fans, I think, were expecting when the Predators hired Andrew Burnett to coach the team. Andrew Burnett had never been a full-time head coach. He was an interim head coach for most of a season after Joel Quenneville resigned. I think he coached 75 or 76 games that season in 2021-2022. Those Florida Panthers were the highest scoring team of the salary cap era. They averaged more than 4 goals per game. They were dominant off the rush, up and down the ice. Didn't work in the playoffs, but it was fun to watch during the regular season. So I do think there were Predators fans who thought that that sort of hockey would be coming to Nashville. And we talked all offseason long, Willie. Barry Trotz asked Andrew Burnett to make changes. And unfortunately, the results are not showing that those changes have taken hold or are making the team any better. But I do think Predators fans were expecting more up-tempo hockey. Meanwhile, the Predators have been one of the worst scoring teams in the league since the start of last season. So I do think that's where some of the disconnect is as well. But Let's throw around this question quickly. Our friend Jacob Underwood, who works with Willie Donick on the FanDuel Sports Network broadcast, texted this. Would fans be even more upset today had they sat out free agency 2 years ago and done nothing but sign a Nick Perbix? I think the answer is yes. How would you answer that question?
I think it was pretty impossible not to be pretty excited about that first year when they had 99 points, even though they did overachieve. And they were probably a couple weeks from rebuilding. you know, when you get down to it, they were leaning towards a rebuild, and then suddenly they caught fire. They went 16-0-2, but they got into a rhythm where every night it was up-tempo. It was how Andrew Brunette would like to play. It was fun to watch. It was contagious, right? You can't tell me that you didn't get wrapped up into that 16-0-2 run. And even in the playoff series where they had trouble scoring, it was a great series against a very tough defensive-minded Canucks team. So to come back that summer and not do anything, that I think that would have had just as much, if not more, howling that's happening now. The howling is in hindsight now of just how it turned out. But let's go back to the centers on the overachieving team 2 years ago. Ryan O'Reilly, who had a great year. Some combination of Cody Glass, who didn't really play that much, injured a lot. Colton Sissons, overachieving career year, 15 goals. Michael McCarron, career year. And Tommy Novak, who we know his ups and downs, right? Those were the centers. That team overcame that weakness. How? Roman Josi had a great year. They had Gus Nyquist had an incredible overachieving year. Like, what was the best year that you thought Gus Nyquist was capable of having?
Not that.
75 points. Everything. Philip Forsberg had a great year. UC Saros had a great second half of the year. Ryan McDonough had a great season. They just had everything clicking. That's what they were hoping would happen these last couple years, and they haven't had anything close to that, right? But it comes down, it still comes down to can you overcome the fact that in the system there weren't a lot of centers that were going to make it easy on whoever the coach is? And that's why I think if everybody is focused on Andrew Brunette, Andrew Brunette analytically has done a lot to correct and give them a chance to be in games much more often than they were in last year, which was disastrous, right? Last year was disastrous in terms of competitive night in and night out. They just didn't defend very well. They got blown out of the water way too much. They're getting blown out less this year, but they're not explosive at all offensively. That is a flaw, and it starts with the center position and not having Roman Josi, your number one player and generator of offense.
Let's go to Alan in Donelson on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Alan, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Well, I just got to say that the only thing this year is we wonder why Stamkos can't do anything and Marchessault can't do anything. They were heroes. When we thought that team was coming together, we were like, we're going to dominate. Me and my wife were like, this is us. And now all we got this year with the Titans, Vandy, and the Predators is Vandy, and we only got three more games possibly.
Basketball. Basketball's coming.
I just can't watch basketball.
Sorry about that, buddy.
I'm out.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
Thank you for the call, Alan.
Like, let's say, here's a good question. I don't know if Tommy Novak will rebound and look like he was at his best, but Tommy Novak 2 years ago in 71 games had 18 goals and 27 assists. If he'd have just done that last year or been on pace for this year, you'd take that. That would be a big upgrade on what production they're getting. Fedor Svechkov has no goals and one assist right now through 20 games.
Yikes.
And I still think he could be a good player, but I think right now he's losing some confidence. He's not having anything go right out there, and it's weighing on him a lot. He's a good kid. He's got talent. But these are the things that are sometimes hard to explain in hockey why things go a certain way. But trading Tommy Novak, it's not like Novak has gone to Pittsburgh and lit it up, right? Nothing close to that yet.
Correct. And Philip Tomasino, whom the Predators traded,
just
got waived. Let's go to Ryan in Nashville on our phone line. Ryan, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
What's going on, guys? I'd say they overshot. I think Trotz overdid it when he went out on that free agency signing. My thing is you look at Stamkos, you look at Marchessault, when they were lighting it up in Vegas and Tampa, they had playmakers. what is the one thing Nashville lacks on offense? They have no playmakers. Luke Evangelista is your best playmaker on offense as of right now, which isn't going to cut it with these guys when they've come with guys from Kucherov and other ones. I think he overshot, and Bruno's system works so well in Florida because he had nothing but young guys that were speed guys. They would attack on the rush. We did good with that his first year because they were young kids still, other than Forsberg and O'Reilly, but the team was still relatively young. And then they add Stamkos, Marshall, and Shea, which doesn't help when they're older and they're slowing down. I love all three of them, but it hurts when their game is slowing down and you want to play an up-tempo speed game.
Thank you for the call, Ryan.
You know, Gus Nyquist and Ryan O'Reilly are not fast players, but they flourished 2 years ago in that system. Ryan McDonagh is not a get-up-and-down-the-ice fast defenseman. He does. He's a savvy guy who could probably meld into whatever system you want to play. But it's interesting how everything came together for that team, even though that team is Colton Sisson's a blazing end-to-end center. Is Michael McCarron? No. Now, Kiefer Sherwood's fast, one of the faster players in the game. Cole Smith is underrated fast. That team, for whatever reason, had the blend. I don't know where it went missing last year, but clearly Brady Shea, Jonathan Marchessault, Steven Stamkos weren't able to get into that blend, and they have been forced to change the way they play. And you take out, you know, Ryan, the caller just mentioned lack of playmakers. Who's your number one playmaker on the team? Roman Josi, who hasn't been there for a while, and he missed the last 25 games last year. So that's another thing. Roman Josi had 85 points 2 years ago. That's an enormous lift of everybody else in your lineup. So it's taken that away from you as well. So it's a very complicated question. My closing thing is, if you're just going to zero in on they need to change the coach, I think it just goes a lot deeper than that. It's a fair thing to bring up and question, but it goes a lot deeper than something simple like that.
Great participation, everybody. 615-737-1025. Barry Trotz himself will join us tomorrow at 4 o'clock. It's not even 4 o'clock. I have to stop saying 4 o'clock because I'm going to keep
saying
4
o'clock. Practice, Go home and practice, Adam. Go home and practice.
Barry Trotz will join us at 4 p.m.
Write it out on the message board.
4 p.m. Barry Trotz will join us at 4 p.m. Not Clark Lee. We talked to Clark Lee yesterday. 4 p.m. Barry Trotz tomorrow on D-Mace, Ving, and Indana. Coming up next, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us. We'll get back into the Titans and college football with our friend Hutton. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Ving, and 1025 The Game.